In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the midst of this fast, we have a feast. In the midst of the purple, there is rose. In the midst of this world, there is sitting, eating, feasting, and rejoicing. Lent is a microcosm of the Christian life. The past three Sundays, we've seen our struggle in this world. The devil tempts us, we overcome in Christ. We are afflicted. We overcome in Christ. The devil tries to steal us back. We flee to Christ. But today we rest. The purple is replaced by rose. The sober, heavy readings are replaced with this joyful text. Christ will feed us for the journey. He will make sure that we make it to our home. He did not leave the 5,000 in their affliction, and neither will he leave us in our struggle. But he did not feed them right away. He waited until the end of the day. So also he may let your hunger pains linger. He may let the struggles and the difficulties mount. But this rose-colored Sunday in Lent teaches you that there always is a rest. Even in the midst of this world, there is a rest. So when do we fast and when do we feast? When do we don purple and when rose? When do we battle and when do we sit and rest? We have our ideas, but our ways are not God's ways. The 5,000 did not plan to be stranded in the wilderness without food. We do not plan to have boring birthdays or anniversaries. We do not plan that the weekend will be filled with work, with chores even, with unexpected expenses, with hospital visits, or with sickness. Life does not go the way that we want. None of us wants to pay an extra price for gasoline, or to deal with inflation, or to have to think about politics or the wars. We like peace, we like rest, we like unity. But the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. He gives us the days of ease, and he also gives us the days of great difficulty. And through it all, we learn how weak and frail we are. Recall how an unseen virus crippled mighty nations, the brightest and the best, could barely relegate it to symptoms. Many still live in fear of it. And we are still dealing with the implications of our decisions. One decision by one person can devastate nations, bring destruction to economies, bring harm and suffering to millions. But we need not think so big. The week can be filled with quite difficult tasks. A day can have so many appointments that we don't know how we can get it all done. We worry what will be left undone, if we will be able to give it our best, if our children or spouse will be neglected. We can feel as if we are powerless, helpless, insufficient for the task. Like Philip, we've thought through how this all plays out, and it doesn't look good in our eyes. We don't know how or what is the way out of inflation. We don't know how to bring peace to Ukraine. We don't know how to fix supply shortages or what to do when the medication no longer works. We think we come up with a solution only to be encountered by yet another detail, and our plans must change yet again. Like Andrew, we quickly realize that our resources are far too insufficient. Repent. Repent not because you have committed some great sin, not because you deserve or brought about this suffering, but because every problem, whether small or great, on a personal or national or world level, every problem should always drive us to our knees in repentance. It reveals how weak we are. We cannot survive a day on our own, much less a lifetime. Our life hangs in a delicate balance. One day we're healthy, the next we're not. One day we have our future set, the next it's completely altered. We are completely dependent on our God. So let us stop trusting in our own intuition, our resources, and our abilities. We all suffer in some way. We've all found ourselves in precarious situations, not of our own making. We may not be starving in a wilderness, but we all have a cross to carry. So let us turn from our pride and recognize that our life can change or end at a moment's notice. So repentance is not something that we put off to the day of our death. It is not something we engage in only in the midst of Lent. It is not something only for when we commit a great sin. But repentance is how faith responds to the news. It doesn't point fingers, but it falls on its knees, recognizing its own weakness and its own insufficiencies. We live in repentance each day, for daily we must admit our weaknesses and daily we must look to Christ in faith. He alone is the answer. He alone is our priceless treasure, worth far more than any gold, silver, or jewels. He never rusts and never fails. He never decreases in value. So what does Jesus say? What is his solution to inflation, to gas prices, to wars, to diseases? Have the people sit down, he says. No work from you, no work from your feeble hands, but bread from his divine hand. No wandering around picking up manna from the desert floor, but sitting as kings and as queens at the feast that God has prepared for you. Sit, rest, and eat. What is impossible for you to figure out is possible for him. In his hand, bread multiplies. By his word, the multitudes are fed. He provides, and he will do it as he sees fit. Thanks be to God that his mercies are new every morning. He gives food and drink, clothing and shoes. He gives us even money and houses and other good things. But that is not the feast. That is not what this story is meant to teach us. That is not the reason why we have rose this day. For daily bread and the daily necessities will fail us. Even family and friends will, for not one can bring us into the kingdom. So again, Christ tells you to sit and rest. His answer to your weakness is his supper. His answer to your struggles, his supper. His answer to division and strife and discord and war and disease and cancer and death, his answer to inflation and high gas prices is his supper. He prepares a table before you in the midst of all your enemies. As the world rages and as you have more than enough to deal with, he tells you to stop, to sit, to eat, to sing and rejoice. The weak and frail, you stop your striving for more and you receive what he gives. Though sad and weary, you sit down on the lush pastures of his word and rest. There is much to be done, and not enough time to get it all done in. But you have come here to Jesus' word, and in him you have peace. Your enemies may encircle you, but who cares? You are with the good shepherd, and he has given you his word. So you stop, and you sit, and you rejoice. You know you don't have time, and you don't deserve it. But you recognize what the one thing needful in your life truly is, and he won't let you fall or fail, but he will continue to shower you with his love. So how is the supper the answer? How is this meal the answer to your precarious life hanging by a thread? Because it is the Passover sacrifice. It is the Lamb of God who saved you from eternal destruction, released you from captivity to the devil, and set you free from your ailments and diseases and weaknesses. They no longer define you, but you are defined by the Word of God. You are a people of God. It is he who bore your sin and died your death and removed your curse. This supper is he who restores creation, brings to life, and gives a peace that man could never find. He is the bread which has come down from heaven to give you the life that you have always desired for yourself and for your children and yet could never fully attain on your own. Eat and live forever. Sit down and rest. Lent remains a microcosm of your entire life, with the purple, the struggles, the strivings, the afflictions. And within all of that, there is rose, there is joy, there is peace, there is a feast at the altar of God. So in the midst of this sorrow, there is joy. In the midst of fasting, there is a feast. In the midst of struggles, there is rejoicing and singing and praising. Lent will not last forever. The purple has given way to rose, at least for a small time. Today we get a brief reprieve. We get a little bit of the end of the story. Resurrection and life and Easter are on its way. It's not too far away, and I'm not talking about April 17th. So do what the rose pyramids urge you to do. Rejoice that God has provided for you. Rejoice that he has saved you. Rejoice that hardships and politics and wars and inflations are simply or will simply soon be a thing of the past. For the Lamb has died and the Lamb is risen. Rejoice in the life that God has given to you. It's not perfect, but his was, and you share in his life. This fast will not last forever. The wilderness is not eternal. Lent will not be around forever. But paradise is. Christ is. The feast is. So repent and eagerly receive what money cannot buy and what will never run out. It heals your bodies and binds up your wounds. It cures your cancer and delivers you from sorrow, all by a simple eating and drinking. Today you fast, or today you feast. Today you celebrate. Today you sing and rejoice, because you are sons and daughters of the King. You are heirs of the resurrection. And today you get a glimpse of this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.